We get a new sugya. It's the next of a Rava's very creative, very innovative ways of getting married. You know, by the time we get Dav Zayin, you know, you're tired of regular weddings are all the same. We need something exciting. The Rava's got a new one for us. Or it wasn't exciting enough, got a new one. So comes the Rava and says in the top of Zayin, but Aleph, Helach Mone, Viskachi Leploni, Mekudeshes Midin Evaknaini. Wow. Reuven wants to marry Rachel. So what's supposed to happen is Reuven's supposed to take out a ring and give it to Rachel. That's not at all what happens over here. What happens is Shimon's the guy standing under the chuppah. And he turns around to Rachel and says, take a mana, take the ring, and you should be Mekudeshes to Reuven. And the Gemara says, hocus pocus, that works within Evaknaini. What's for Evaknaini? What does Evaknaini have to do with anything? Evaknaini, lav afagad loka chosav lomide kakani nafshe. If you think about it, the Torah says that an Evaknaini can be cone himself back with kesef. How do we know that? What does it say then in Chumash? An Evaknaini can be cone himself with kesef. And remember, it says in the parasha of Shifcha Charufa, it says that you have this girl, remember, she's half free, half right. I think we spoke a little bit about this earlier. And the Torah describes her status and using the following phrase, v'hafdei lo nifdasa. So what do those words mean? Hafdei lo nifdasa. So there's machlekes atanoim. Does it mean that she's half free and not fully free? Sometimes say she's not free at all. Again, we spoke a lot about Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel earlier a couple of weeks ago. But Hafdei is a Lashon Pidyon. What does Pidyon mean? Always Pidyon is Idei Kesef. So the Torah says, you see from here, that a method of freeing an Evaknaini is through Kesef. So who's going to provide the Kesef? So obviously, well, if the Adon is selling the Eved back to himself, so the Adon's the Moicher, the Eved's the Koiner, so it's obvious, if I go to the store and buy potatoes, I have to give the money. So obviously the Eved has to give the money. That's a big problem. What's the big problem with that? He doesn't own anything. Mashakon Eved Koinerado. So I'm taking it, and he's going to give it to the Adon and say, with this money, I'm hereby buying my freedom back. What does the Adon say? Thank you for giving me the money that belongs to me. So what's the case? What's the possibility? So the Gemara says, you're right, such a bomb, Kasha. The only way to explain how the Torah gives us this institution of Mechiras Eved B'Chazor, the Shichur Eved Kanani, the Kesef, must be that somebody else is providing the Kesef. Otherwise, there's no other way to make any sense of it. There's a din of Mashakon Eved Koinerado, and there's a din of Kidin Kesef to be Meshachar Avadim. So how do those two dinim jive together? So the answer is Yavakas, literally, Yavakas Vashlishi. Must be Adesh Shlishi. Must be there's a third fellow who's giving the money. The Gemara says, wait, that's an eye-opener, because the Torah is describing a Kinyan Kesef. It's working with all the rules and regulations of Kinyan Kesef, but it's not the Kona giving the Kesef. So what does that teach us about Kinyan Kesef? What that teaches us is that Kinyan Kesef, when required in Halacha, need not be the model that we thought it was. We thought the ABCs of Kinyan Kesef were the Kona given to the Meicher. Guess what? Not the first, not the last time. Our ABCs were wrong. Our baseline understanding of Kesef was just dead wrong. That Kesef does not require the money to be given by the Kohenah. It can be given by a third party. So come to Rava and the Zion Ralph and Kedusha and says, well, if we're already using creativity to create new scenarios of Kedusha, let's use this also. Just as by Kinyan of an Eved Kanani, the Torah speaks to Kesef, and it's understood the Kesef is given by a third party, what's the difference between that and Kedusha? So the chassid doesn't give the ring. Somebody else gives the ring. Shalom Yisrael, the woman's Mekadesh is Mazel Tov. So that's exactly what it says. Helech money is kashin before Mekadesh is never kidani. Give Valdik. Wonderful. So chaos now breaks out on this sugya. If you would just read this Gemara, you'd think this is wonderful. Let's move on to the next sugya. Unless you happen to, by some chance, learn the second paragraph of Kedusha. What do I mean by that? Why is the second prayer of Kedusha going to be in the back of your mind when you read this Gemara? Reuven's marrying Rachel and Shimon's giving the money. Okay. Any problems with that? No problem. Everyone's just fine with that, right? Reuven wants to marry Rachel and Shimon's going to give the cash, right? Who exactly is Shimon? What is Shimon here? Was he appointed by Reuven to be doing what he's doing? Is he acting on his own? He just decided to be a nice guy. He knows Reuven's having some trouble. You know, he's been dating for a few years already. He's not finding the right girl. So Shimon decides, listen, I'll save him the aggravation. I'll go find the girl for him and I'll give her a ring and Mazel Tov. So Shimon's acting on his own will. He wasn't appointed to be a shaliach. Is that the case? That sounds very bundle. We all learned the Sefer Kedushin. The Gemara has to bend over backwards, psukim and rayas and drashas to teach me the din of shlichos. If not for the din of shluch shalom kabaisai, would anyone in their right mind have said, I could do something on your behalf? Well, I can be mafish truma without being appointed. I can give a get without being appointed. I can be makashi. Whoever heard of such a crazy thing? Nobody remembers the shlichos discussion? No one remembers the discussion that took 30 years to finish? No, I must have told the story. More than 30-year discussion. When I was in 8th grade, I must tell the story, Kedusha must tell the story. I was in 8th grade, so they had this great idea that I was an SAR for 8th grade. SAR didn't have a high school, I was in 8th grade, graduate elementary school. So almost midway through the year, so it was decided that it would be a great idea for me to begin high school for Gemara. And I guess the English wasn't as good as the Hebrew was. So they decided I'll be in 8th grade for English and I'll be in 9th grade for Gemara, but there was no school. It was a different school. It happened to have been 5 blocks away, but the two schools don't do with each other. So it was a very unique setup. I went for the last 6 months of 8th grade. I was registered in 2 schools. I was in Gemara until 12:30 in the morning in high school in 9th grade year. And then after it was over, I would walk the 5 blocks and continue English at the point. Very strange type of a setup. Okay, anyway, fine. So we were learning Perek HaShir, the 8th Perek of Bava Tzir. So we were learning the sugi about She'elim Abayelim, about the Shlichos. If you appoint, if I lend you a cow and then and you're the Shaliach and you're working, you're not working. A whole complicated sugi about Shulchan Kamosu comes up beginning the 8th Perek of Bava Tzir. So at the time, Rabbi Yitzchak Adler was my Rebbe. You know Rabbi Yitzchak Adler from Muncie? There he is. He used to be a Rebbe in Rebbe Wine's yeshiva for many years after that. We wrote a sefer called Ian Belumdus to give you some ideas to how he likes to. You know what I'm talking about? He says Ian Belumdus. So he was my Rebbe. So he. One day I met him on the bus. He used to live in the Heights. He used to come from the Heights on the bus. And one day I was on the bus. I met him on the bus. And we were walking back to the bus together and we were learning the Sugya Shlichos. And he turns to me and he says, I was so intimidated, I was a little kid, I was 13 years old. And he looks at me and he says, so there's a din of Shluch Shalom Kamosa, right? What would you have thought if not for the pasuk of Shluch Shalom Kamosa? Would you have figured it out on your own? What was he really asking me? What's your baseline? Now this is before there were any silvers around, this is 40 years ago. He says, what's your baseline? So for the fact that Chazal needed a pasuk to tell me shlichus, what's your baseline, obviously? That it's the craziest thing in the world. Chasim's got to show up, the cow's got to show up. But God says that, you send the shlich to get married. So the baseline is you can't do things without shlichus. You can't do things just on your own for somebody else. You need a parasha shlichus. Shlichus has been a shlichus. Didn't who's kashim is shlichus. Didn't the whole thing is a second breaking condition. This all thing is a shlichus. Without shlichus, what's it to talk about? How can I do something on behalf of somebody else? So that's what he asked me, in effect, what's your baseline? So I was so into it, I had no idea what the answer we were talking about. So 40 years, almost 35 years later or so, Rabbi Adler's nephew davens in my shul. And the nephew's son made a bar mitzvah, and it was Pashas Korach. And he asked me to speak. Well, the bar mitzvah wasn't in my shul, but he asked me to give one of the drushes, the bar mitzvah in the afternoon. And Pashas Korach is one of the curses of Shlichos, Atem Gam Atem. And Rabbi Adler, his uncle, was there at the Bar Mitzvah. So I started off the drasha by saying, I would like to continue a conversation that I had with the Bar Mitzvah boy's great uncle 35 years ago on the bus. The place thought I was off the Baracher. Rabbi Adler got a lot of enough from it. He had more than a Sharputa. He enjoyed it. So I said, I'd like to answer the question that was posed to me as a bar mitzvah boy. I was 13 when he asked it. As a bar mitzvah boy, I was posed this question. And it took me 30 years to be able to have the opportunity to respond. So let me talk to you a little bit about shlichos. And then I spoke about how we're shlichos I am. We're shlichim of the previous generations, and my parents, and my grandparents, and David Dairis. And I taught into the bar mitzvah. That's how I started the drush. Anyway, getting back to the story. So what we're talking about, I have no idea. Oh yeah, Eber Kanaibi. So the Gemara says that Shimon's standing under the chuppah, giving a ring to Rachel, and Reuven's, I don't know, what's he doing? He's on a date with somebody. He doesn't even know he's getting married. What's going on?
He asked that,
the whole thing is ridiculous. What's going on?
Reuven can't get married without his own dad.
I don't know, we're trying to figure that out. So comes Rashi on the spot. And Rashi says, saves us. Rashi says, Helech mani vizkachi leploni, vush lucho. Says Rashi, of course he's a shliach. Shimon's not a nobody. Shimon's not doing this on his own. Shimon was appointed as Reuven to be a shliach. So then, wait a second. If Shimon was appointed to be a shliach, who's the kasha now? If Shimon is already the shliach, what do we need rubber for? It was mina shlichus. Who's shlucha? That's what vush shlucha means. If I was Rashi, I would have said, "Afa pi shalom nasa shaliach," as Moshe says, because that's like a shalom. No, Rashi says, "Vushlucho licked in those words." Vushlucho means he's a shaliach with all the rights and titles and privileges of being shaliach. He was appointed shaliach. You're ready. It's too complicated for me. So Rashi, I just saw Rashi. Rashi says Vushlucho. So obviously he's the shaliach. When you read the Rashi, you got to read every word of Rashi. Rashi didn't just stop, you know. Rashi's sitting back with a cup of coffee like Rava, like just some schmoozing. What does Rashi mean? Vushluchai. Rashi is addressing our concern. Rashi is saying, don't be foolish. Don't tell me that Shimon just stepped up to the plate and Reuven's somewhere else. Reuven doesn't know about it. Why are you talking? That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. You can't be Mekadosh Anish for someone out there, Das. But what's the problem? Rashi, by saying Vushlucho, Rashi's digging a hole for himself. What's the hole? If he's a shliach, so then of course it works. I need Rava and the Zayin and Kedusha to tell me you can be Mekadosh de shliach. I never learned Kedusha after the Malach. I never learned Shulchan Kamaisai. I never went to 8th grade and talked to Rabbi. Everyone knows it's been a shlichus. So what my Hanilin Rava, my Hanilin Rabbi Kanaini, what's the Chiddush HaTev Rabbi Kanaini? So you have to look and see when you read the Rashi, understand what's bothering. How does that English book, what's it called? What's bothering Rashi? So what's bothering Rashi Kedushin? So Rashi was clearly bothered with Mr. Alter's Kasha, Nisam Chaliyish, to be the Mekadosh Anish for somebody else. So Rashi had gives up the answer, Vushlucho. So now Rashi's bothering another Kasha. Now we're just guilty of overkill. So Rashi answers the overkill with three words. Elisha Mekadosh Anish. Up, Rashi. That whose ring does it belong to? The ring does not belong to the chassid, it belongs to the shaliach. So what does Rashi say? Abba Zoi, that the ring belongs to the shaliach. Wait a second, you don't say shluch shalom kamosa on the ownership of the ring, says Rashi. Shluch shalom kamosa means that you can be mekanish and isha, the maisa kedushin can work as a shlichos. But tachlis, push comes to shove, who owns the ring? The shaliach owns the ring, that's not going to work. The shliach owning the ring, you can't go through the regular vehicles of shlichus. So says Rashi, if Reuven would have appointed Shimon and given him a ring, so I don't need Rava. Taka Rava would be unnecessary. So Rashi is walking this tightrope. On the one hand, he's the shliach to the Mekadosh. On the other hand, Reuven didn't bother giving him the ring. Shimon wants to know, Rabbi, Shimon's standing under the chuppah. He was appointed as a shliach, and he realizes Reuven forgot to give him a ring. So he calls up the Masada Kedusha. So quickly, what do? I don't have a ring. He didn't give me a ring. So what does the Masada Kedusha say? So take out your own ring. Take out my own ring. That's not shlichus. So that's what Rava comes and says. No, you're right. It's not shlichus. What is it? It's not shlichus, but it's what? It's Evakinaini. So at the end of the day, this Kedushin is accomplished through a combination of factors. On the Maisa Kedushin is being covered by the Dinam of Shlichus. The ownership of the ring is being covered by Evik Kenaini. So licked in Rashi, five words in Rashi. Who Shlucha El Shemakash? Rashi answered all of those questions, all those dilemmas. Rashi created the rope case because that's the only case that can explain how the Kedushin works. And on the other hand, not be overkill of, hey, what do I need Evik Kenaini for? So he staked in Rashi. Mamish reads like a Shah, this Rashi reads Mamish. You must talk with Vash, these words of Rashi. Come to Ritvan Arsugya and listen to the Ritvan. Listen to the Ritvan's formulation. Helech Manis Kasi Pleini, Perish. Hamayre Bishain Hanaisin Shluch Shalom Kaddish. So the opening words out of Ritvan's mouth is what? He ain't the Shliach. He is not the shliach. El she neisin kesef bishaloi kidei she diskadish bolazeh. And what forced the Ritva to give such a strange, seemingly strange okimta that he's not the shliach, and somehow the Ritva wasn't goyres Mr. Alter's kasha? What was prompting the Ritva to say this? Not a great surprise. You have to read each word of the Ritva also. You should write another book. What's bothering the Ritva? So Kumta Ritvan says, "Vahainu the Asi Alami Din Ever Kenaini." What's up to Ritvan? Those five words. Vahainu the Asi Alami. Six words. We Din Ever Kenaini. What's the Ritvan saying? That's the reason why. What? Why you need Ever Kenaini? You need Ever need Dafka specifically because he's not the Shaliach. What's the Mashmos of the Ritva? That Lu Yitzuya, he would have been the Shaliach. Then what? Lu Yitzuya Reuven would have appointed Shimon as a formal Minah Shlichus to be Mishalit to be Kaddish Rachel. Then we wouldn't have needed Rava. Aye, what's the glaring problem? We still need Rava because after all, what the money is what? Is the Shlichus money. Zeman Fundor, what do you see from Ritva? What do you see from this Ritva? The what? That even though Reuven's not giving the ring, Shimon's giving the ring, but the same way that Shimon has the koach to do the Maisa Kedushin for Reuven, apparently he has the koach to do what? To supply the Kesef Kedushin for Reuven as well. That's something that was unthinkable according to Rashi. According to Rashi, Hilchos Shlichus would not have permitted, would not have justified the Shaliach using his own cash. The only thing that justified that was Hilchos Ever Kenaini. According to the Ritva, the exact opposite conclusion than Rashi. According to the Ritva, Lu Yitzuya would have been based on Shlichus. There would have been a real Shlichus here. Then there would have been no need for Ever Kenaini at all, notwithstanding the fact that the Shaliach is not using the Mishalach's money. That's okay. That's fine. We don't need Ever Kenaini for that. The only reason, Zokter Dral, the only reason why you need Ever Kenaini is because the Hachamai Skidi is not a Shaliach. So now, there are two major Machleksim that emanate from this Machleks Rashi Ritva. Just, it's a nuance of a case of a difference. What is the case of Ever Kenaini? In the case of Ever Kenaini, according to Rashi, there was Shalichus. According to Ritva, it was Dafka, Eino Shaliach. So there are two very, very important machlokes in here that now emanate from this machlokes. What's the first? Hilchos Shlichus. Hilchos Shlichus, we know, is the greatest thing in the world, Hilchos Shlichus. It lets you be mafresh truma, let you shechtar and pesach, lets you give kiddushin. You can do a million things, conquer the world with Shlichus, except for mitzvah shebe gufo. But other things you can do with Shlichus. Shlichus is great, except for dvar aveira. Shlichus is phenomenal. When it works, it's the greatest thing in the world. Comes Rashi and says, it's the greatest thing in the world vis-a-vis the Maiseh, but if and when the Halakha requires that a certain item belong to the Mishaleach, the ownership of the Shliach is not ownership of the Mishaleach. That's clear from Rashi. According to the Ritva, it's absolutely true. Just as the Nesidus of Shliach is the Nesidus of Mishaleach, the Tabas of the Shliach is the Tabas of Mishaleach as well. So that's a major machlokes here. Within the parasha of Shlichus, can Shlichus work lahashvos, in effect, mamon hashalich lemamon hamishalech? Can it do that trick? According to Rashi, absolutely not. Inconceivable. According to Ritva, absolutely yes. That's one machlokes. What's the second machlokes? There's another very, very important machlokes, Rashi and Ritva. What's the other machlokes? According to Rashi, it is not open for discussion to have Kiddushin taking place without official form of what? Official form of what? Minah Shlichus. It's not on the radar screen, according to Rashi. And Rashi is willing to walk the tightrope and make sure that it gives you a case with six words to create a scenario rather than go down. According to Rashi, if you take Shlichus out of the picture, you just fell off the rope. You just plummeted to the bottom because the whole condition is bottle of a little. According to Rashi, it's not conceivable on the radar screen to have Kiddushin without Shlichus. According to the Ritva, a very strange thing. According to the Ritva, not only can you do. That is Rava's talking. Rava is talking about there's no Shlichus. That's what the Ritva said. Did everybody catch that? Didn't the Ritva say that? Hamar b'she'ena noisen shlichus shalmakadish. He's not the Shaliach. And it's still good. So according to Rashi, that's not up for discussion. According to Ritva, it's possible. So, Efsharut l'kiddushin ayidei acher b'li minui shlichus. What Rashi thought was impossible, not negotiable, the Ritva says, not only is it possible, that's exactly what Rav is talking about. So these are two major, major issues that are going on here. And this really is the background for us. This is going to set the stage for us to understand what is this issue about, what is the first issue about, what is the second issue about. That's today's discussion, the beginning of today's discussion. So if I say, do we have any other parallel areas in halacha that we can begin to test and see concerning the first shalom? We'll take the first shalom first. L'hashvas mamon shalech v'mamon shalech. We don't know yet why it should or should not, but do we even have any other parallels in halacha where we want to invoke the principle of shushram kemoso to take property of the shalich and label it property of the shalich? You should have seen the marmakomas that we do. Where do we have in halacha a situation where we talk about shlichus and there's some kind of a pre-existing halacha that the mishalech has to own something, and we could potentially discuss what the din would be if the mishalech doesn't own, if the shlich does own in his place? What's the area I'm talking about? No one's talking about mekamos? Because I'm ahead of you, because it's we have shiur before seder. Okay, you have to catch up. Hilchos Gittin. There's a starting point, a baseline, perhaps, in Hilchos Gittin. Not 100% muchach, but we're going to work with the baseline for a moment. Husband's ready to write a get. The chas of law says, because v'nasim biyada, he has to give it to her. And we spoke a lot about it. Nesina is Nesina. Hakunah, v'ktsaisim, v'shalai, there's a lot of Torahs on this. But on a mamish pshuto level, the get is made up of the piece of paper and the ink, whether the paper is an integral part of the get, not the part of the get, so obvious that we spoke a little bit about earlier, a couple days ago. But the get is, we know what the get is, a piece of paper with letters on it. Must the husband own that cheftz of a get or not? Is that important? That's like lachem and esra, like, does he have to own the paper and the ink and anything? Or no, the nasim biyad, the games are finished. So many of the Rishonim assume the answer to that question is yes. That there is a pre-existing halacha. In the Gemara, it's not 100% clear. But the Rishonim assume, put together a couple of lines here and there for different Gemaras, that the starting point to that question is yes. That the husband must own the paper and the ink, whatever the physical components of the get are, has to be b'shashel shel habal. Now, 99% the husband's not writing the get himself, unless he's a sofer for himself. Usually somebody else is writing it. How that works exactly, the Torah says, v'chos of law, so how does the sofer write it? That's the machlekes that we showed him, everyone know. 2 days in Tais, very famous machlekes. Back to the Gittin days in First Hall. The Torah says, v'chos of law, sefer krisos, the husband doesn't write it, the sofer writes it. So one day in Tais, says it's based on what? Shlichos, what's the other day? Is that v'chosav doesn't mean lo abal koi. V'chosav just means the get should be written. It doesn't say the husband has to write it. The get has to be written. It's not based on shlichus. So Tais says a kashim. It's not based on shlichus. So why does the Mishnah say you have to appoint the sofer to write it for you? Why can't he do it without your appointment? That's a whole nother kashim. Maybe another time and place we'll get to that. So Lamai said 99% of the time the husband's not writing it. So the husband's not writing it. He's not a sofer. He doesn't own ink. He doesn't own paper. So what happens? The sofer walks into the beis din carrying his, you know, his big black attaché case. He opens it up. He takes out paper, takes out a quill, takes out his pen, takes out his ink, and gets ready to write. But wait a second. No, don't do that yet. It doesn't belong to the husband. So what's the easiest way to get around that problem? No big deal. She's locking it to the husband. So that's exactly what we do. In getting it written today, the first thing we do, I mean, not the first one, but one of the early, before any ink is put in any paper, everything in the attaché case, the whole case, picked up by the chassan, the husband, I'm sorry, and now the husband owns everything in that case, and then he appoints the sofer, and the sofer starts writing. That's normal protocol. Okay, it's normal protocol. At the end, the post can write, at the end, when the whole get is over, so what should the husband then do? He should give it back, because why? Because the next guy, sofer's got to go on the next trip, the next Kerishin. He wants to make sure that it belongs to him in order to market the next husband. Somebody told me when they once had a get where the guy was a real clown. The husband was a real clown. And after they were about to finish up the get, so the surfer said, okay, I want you now to be mapped. The guy says, no, well, I don't know, Prince, but you want to give me for it? Not so posh, not so simple. So the husband's negotiating with the surfer to get some money for the paper and pen that he gave them as a gift an hour ago. It's like a simple...
I see why she wanted to...
Yeah, yeah. We have the same thing by chalitza. The same practice we do. The Gemara says that the Eretzon lechatchila, that the chalitza shoe is supposed to belong to the Yavam. The Gemara says lechatchila shallow, where that comes from. Machlekes the Rishon and what the source of that din is. But the Ma'aseh, the Gemara says beferish lechatchila, the Yavam is supposed to own the shoe. So the minig is that we give pick up the shoe before and we give it to the Yavam as a gift. So I was just talking about Shul last night. What was I talking? Oh yeah, from Zevra. Last night, from Zevra's learning. He's doing on his own Sechas Kedushin. So he was doing some sugya about chalitza last night. So he was talking. He asked me some kashas about in the end and Daf Yud Gimel. Some sugya chalitza before every sugya start. So he's asking me some questions about chalitza last night. So I said to him, I saw three chalitzas in my life. So he asked me, was it for an older woman, a younger woman? I was telling him, I said, one of them was for an older woman, but two that I saw were Nebuch after September 11th. I saw two chalitzas in Nebuch Lamanas from September 11th. So one of the chalitzas, the first chalitza that I saw, not the September 11th one, but another one, years earlier, was done actually in YU. I remember I was 20 years old. My first year back after one of my Gilgulim after Kirby Avna, between my different tikkufos of Kirby Avna, I was here for a couple of days. So I was a couple of years. So they were doing a chalitza, and I was learning Yavamis that year. So I was very excited. Me and, anyone know Danny Mann? You know Rabbi Danny Mann? He says Shirim and Gruss. I don't know who he is. Anyway, he's a dying in Eretz Yisrael. We learned Yavamis together. So we were standing there and watching the chalitza, and the Dayanim forgot to be mocked to the shoe for the Yavam. They almost forgot. They were going through the Seder chalitza, and they made a mistake. So I whispered to him, I said, I think the Dayanim forgot something. They forgot they were about to do the chalitza, they weren't mocked to the shoe yet. So I was a little punk, a little kid. It's right in that. I'm going to go, excuse me, but the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to be. I think that was a nice thing to do. But then the Gemara says, but the Yavam is good anyway. The Yavam is good anyway. I'm going to go argue with the Dayanim, it's not covered there. So then all of a sudden, when they started the chalitza, I saw one of the Dayanim starts to whisper to the other Dayanim, and they realized they thought that they forgot. So if anyone's ever seen a chalitza, it's a big hassle to undo the chalitza shoe, because it takes you 20 minutes to you strap it on to your tight legs. It's not a slip-on exactly. So it was very embarrassing. They just start untying the shoe and starting over again. So one of the Yonim came with a mom, shekeval yachap. You have to be kind of a hagbah. There's no din for hagbah. You have to pick up your hands, you put it over your foot also. So they told the guy, okay, sit down and pick up your foot three tvachim into the air and have in mind to be kona the shoe through hagbah. So he was kind of the shoe while it was still on his foot. That's where you're dying for chalitza. Okay. Anyway, what are we talking about? Oh, you're buying again. Okay, fine. So that it's simple. The protocol today is that you mock the whole briefcase, the whole everything to the balance. So come to Mishnah in Masechet Zittin. Misha and Bushlach Lebor. There's a guy who's at the bottom of a pit. He was just thrown into a pit, and he's screaming and he's dying, and no one knows what's going to happen, and he realizes Gevalt, his wife's going to be a Yavam Lashur Gevalt, she's going to be going to need Chalitza, and his one brother lives in Antarctica, and they'll never get to find him with the penguins, and it's a disaster. What's going to happen? So he decides he's going to be a big tzaddik, he's going to divorce his wife. What's the problem? He's in the bottom of the pit. He's dying. He can't breathe anymore. He's running out of it. He's dehydrating. They can't try to save him. Like the guys who fell into the pond yesterday in Central Park, no? So, there was a soul story last night. A bunch of kids were ice skating on the pond. The frozen pond. They didn't realize it was 59 degrees outside. And the pond melted. And they went in the water. So they had to rescue seven. I think they got them all out, right? So this guy Nebuchadnezzar didn't have such good luck. So it's Mishael Mishloch Lebor, and he's screaming, "Somebody help me and write a get for my wife." That's Mamshet Tzadik. Somebody help me! Has his dying breath. Write a get for my wife. So the Mishnah says, anyone who's walking past the thing, Harel Yichtav Yitnu, they should quickly write the get before the guy dies. Harel Yichtav Yitnu. So the Gemara has an interesting discussion there. Most people remember this Gemara for the other reasons, the tangential reasons. The Gemara says, how do you know he's a person under there? Maybe he's a shade. Maybe it's the shade screaming, Reuven ben Yaakov, right again for Rachel Bas Yisrael. So like, well, it was a whole discussion with the shadows. But it's already beyond my scope right now. So the Rishonim ask a kasha in this Gemara. He just got finished telling me the husband has to own the paper. How's he going to own the paper? How's he going to make a kid on the paper? How's that going to happen? He's 30 feet below. A new chumra. You have to toss the paper down to him. The guy's dying, he can barely breathe. Wait, before you die, just catch that cloth for a minute, catch that inkwell. And then what has he got to do? With his last, he's got to throw it back up again. It's like when the mice with the mine was six, 7 years ago. So when those guys, when the children was in Chile, first time in South America, that mine, so they survived for like 100 days in the mine, but they were lowering food to them because they were able to make a hole big enough to send a little basket down. So whatever, a little more technologically advanced than a basket, but they were sending food down to them. But they couldn't make the hole big enough to get somebody actually up from the mine. So that's what's going on. And also, so that's what we're sending down to the guy. We can't find the guy from Hatzolah to get down there. We can't find a fireman. Can't get a guy from Chavayim to get down there. Nobody can go down there. But we're tossing him the ciphers there, standing Epis, maybe Machli Yuzayin the Dion, the Klaf Epis. You know, Lachatchila can do Hanbo. Please do it again. The guy's dying. And he's got to toss it back up again with his last kaychas, last strength. So comes the Mordechai and in Maseches Gittin and says, I don't think that's happening. He said, I can't believe, says the Mordechai, that the guy is getting the cloth and the deal tossed down and then back up again. But the Rishonim and the Daik from Gemara's earlier getting that the cloth has to belong to the husband. What did the Mordechai say? What's the answer to that question? Of course, the cloth has to belong to the husband. Unless the husband does what? Unless he appoints a shaliach to write the get on his behalf. If and when he appoints a shaliach to write the get on his behalf, then who did it belong to? The shaliach. Because shlucha shel adam k'maisa yizak to Mordechai. So just as shlucha shel k'maisa works vis-a-vis the maisa and the sidis haget, so too it works to have the ownership of the klaf. If that's true, then what we do today, that we're makna the klaf to the husband, is not necessary. Because all I get today, I've written derech shlichus. So come to Mordechai and says, when the Rishonim say the husband has to own the paper and the pen and the ink, that means if the husband's writing to get himself not their shlichus, and he's borrowing somebody else's paper, he doesn't own the paper, that's a problem. But the din is, whoever's the nisidus again, whoever is giving the get has to be the owner of the get. So if and when somebody else is giving the get, see, Bizman is there, the husband really does give the get, so we do need Hatunas get. But if and when there would be a shaliach to do the Nesidus get, if you're a shaliach for the Nesidus get, then you're a shaliach for the ownership of the cloth as well. That Mordechai tucked away in the end of the sixth parak of Gittin is very reminiscent of who? That's identical to which Shita? That Shluzhach also works for what? It works for ownership as well. If it works for ownership of cloth and ink, then it works for ownership of a ring as well. It's mamash the ritva speaking. So we suspect that any rishon is going to disagree with that Mordechai, who's maybe going to come up with another creative solution to that dilemma, because you have to answer that mishnah. There's no way you can ignore that mishnah. So maybe the ritva solution is not acceptable. Maybe like Rashi and Asugi is going to look for an alternate explanation of that mishnah. Hopefully, we'll tomorrow. We're going to try to continue and see how that mishnah, the different interpretation of the Rishonim, is going to impact on Asugi. So we know there's a machlekes Rishonim in Kiddushin. We already pretty certain we're going to find a machlekes Rishonim in Kiddushin. But we haven't yet explained this. What's the issue exactly? So what conceptually are they fighting about? Should shlichus work on ownership, or shlichus limited to maisim? Hopefully, we'll tomorrow. We'll try to elaborate a bit more. Right away.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.